Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Job. And as I read and researched, it occurred to me that I wouldn't be able to do that if you folks hadn't asked me to come. And so I thank you for that. It gives me the opportunity, it forces me to do some things that I always wanted to do and never really quite found the time to do. And so my thanks to you for asking me to come. You remember Job. Job has lost everything. His family, his livestock, even his wife has said, curse God and die. Job's friends aren't much help either. They keep talking against God and telling him what he should be doing. And Job begins to doubt. And several times in the books, in the chapters before today's chapter 38, Job asks for a meeting with God so that he can plead his case. And all this is happening because God and Satan have a wager. And Job is caught in the middle. And it doesn't seem fair. That meeting that Job requested in those earlier chapters comes to fruition in today's reading. God says, okay, Job, roll up your sleeves. We're going to get started at this. And Job expects an answer. But instead of an answer, he gets questions. There's not the answer he expected as to, well, why am I experiencing all of this grief and pain? Rather, God indicates Job with a flood of questions that are designed to convince Job that God knows what he's doing and that God is doing things on his own and he doesn't need Job's help or anyone else's for that matter in his care and concern for Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God asks. Who laid the cornerstone? Who shut in the sea with doors and said, this far your proud waves shall go and no farther? God asked Job, have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the deep recesses of the deep? And God goes on asking more questions for the next two chapters. And then finally in chapter 40, Job, after being questioned for a couple of chapters, finally realizes that he doesn't have the answers that God has. And so he says to God, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? Essentially, okay, God, you got it. You're right. I have spoken about things about which I have no understanding. An interesting story. The gospel is much simpler and shorter, but there's still some things we're going to compare. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he himself has gone out on the mountain to pray. During the fourth watch, that's about 4 o'clock or so in the morning, a storm comes up, and the disciples are rowing against the wind. And at best, they have a torch maybe to hold up so they can sort of see where they're going. And somewhere in that dim light, they see what they think is a ghost. But Peter recognizes this could be Jesus. And he says, command me to come to you. Not ask me, but command me to come to you. And Jesus says to Peter, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk. But then the text says he sees the wind. We can't see the wind. I suspect that means that he realized where he was and he could see the danger that he was in, at least from an earthly standpoint. And he begins to sink and he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and takes him by the hand and returns him to the boat safely. As I looked at these two texts, there are several things that they have in common. One of those things that they have in common is faith. In the gospel, Peter has the faith to step out on that water simply because he's going to Jesus and Jesus has commanded him to do that. In the Old Testament, Job continues to have faith even in spite of all of the bad things that have happened to him and in spite of the advice that he gets from his friends. There's also fear in both of these stories. That fear seems to get in the way. Peter becomes afraid when he sees the wind. Job fears that God is picking on him and treating him badly. Both of the texts have a storm. The beginning, the first verse of chapter before our reading begins today, it says, God spoke to Job from a whirlwind, is the term that's used. Actually, that word means a bad storm or a hurricane. And in the New Testament reading, Jesus is walking on the waters where there is a storm and high winds. There's also doubt. Peter doubts that Jesus will be able to keep him safe, and he cries out asking for help. And Job doubts that God is being fair with him or that he's going to give him an answer. But both of these men acknowledge that something is going on. Job soon realizes that he doesn't have all the answers, that he doesn't know what God knows, that God is much farther advanced than he is. And so he acknowledges God's sovereignty. And Peter realizes that without Jesus there, he would not be able to survive. And so he calls out to him. How often do we suffer from those same similarities that are with these two stories? We leave church on Sunday morning and somehow there's this feeling of confidence that our faith is strong and we're ready to face the world. God is there with us. We're going to be able to get through anything that happens, anything that life can throw at us. Our fear seems diminished because Jesus is walking there beside us, and we're unafraid of the storms of life. Mentally and intellectually, we can easily acknowledge that God is sovereign. After all, he created the earth. But then in practice, that sovereignty is not so easy to accept. It may be even unfathomable for us to accept that, especially when the storms of life, when the reality of Monday morning comes around, when we get up and we begin to realize this is a tough life that we have, that bad things could happen. Sometime during the week, we may learn of an illness or death of a friend. Sometime during the week, we may experience some financial loss, or we may hear about a spouse or a close friend who develops an illness. We read of disasters around the world, and we wonder why God would ever let those kinds of things happen. Our fears grow, and we begin to doubt God. We accuse him of not caring for us or not protecting us, and we question how he could allow something bad like that to happen to us or to good friends of ours. After all, we think we have a strong faith. We go to church every Sunday, and we question God's motivation. That confident faith that we had Sunday morning degrades to, where is God? Does he really care about me? It's times like that that we cry out to God and ask for help, and in crying out to God, we are humbled. We think about the kinds of questions that God asked Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Who stretched a line out upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Or who shut in the sea? I like this line. Who shut in the sea with doors and prescribed limits for it and said, this far your waves shall come and no farther? When you go to the coast and you look at the ocean, it comes this far and no farther. And that's where God has drawn the line. In both of these texts today, we are called to trust. Both Peter and Job came face to face with the reality of their humanity. But notice that neither Job nor Peter are condemned for their questioning or for their lack of faith. Trials and tribulations certainly come in this world. When those trials come, we are called upon to repent and confess our sins. In the midst of our brokenness and weakness, we are called to entrust our body and our soul to this God that we love and that we trust. And he accomplishes all of those things, accomplishes all of his purposes, even in the midst of suffering, using us for his purposes. When we suffer, we need to remember that it was also Christ who suffered on the cross for us. It was his suffering and death that provided the salvation for the world. And there's suffering for us as well, as we are part of Jesus' life. Difficulties, trials, tumultation comes to us like it came to Paul. You remember that Paul complained of a thorn in his side. We don't know exactly what that is. But Paul says three times he asked God to make that thorn go away. And three times God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul goes on, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then," he says, "I am content with weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God has a purpose for all of the trials and the tribulations that we experience. Our problem is that we don't have the big picture. And so we tend to jump to conclusions and complain that God isn't being fair to us. If you would notice in the reading from Paul just that I read a minute ago, Paul says that God's grace is sufficient for us, for him. It doesn't say was sufficient, it doesn't say will be sufficient, but is sufficient. That means it is sufficient for us today and every day in the present time of all the todays of our lives. So from the text that we read today, we can conclude that in the weakness of our trials and tribulations, the power of Christ is upon us. When we suffer, the power of Christ is shown in us. We need to remember that it is God who laid the foundations of the earth, that it is God who is in control of your life and of my life every day that we are alive. We need to remember that it is God doing his work, his way, through us. So today we turn to God when we come to the storms of life. When we come to those storms of life, we repent and we pray for God's guidance. The first line of our closing hymn for today goes like this: "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.